אני מסתכל, איך אתה אומר לכם שאתם
עולים?
What I want to do with you today is arrive it on the Sifra, the Pirush arrived on the Sifra.
Oh, yeah.
So I have one copy of it here. We can photocopy, or alternatively, you can find it here in the Nefesh Tova on what's called Siman Ayin. Siman Ayin. That'll save us the need to photocopy it. So in order to appreciate this Ravid, we'll take a look at the Gemara on top of the Vav and Al. So if you recall, the Sugya was vacillating back and forth on the issue of Yerusha, whether Yerusha Kanya or Lo Kanya. And we want to analyze that suffix today, but first, the Gemara says that if Yerusha Lo Kanya, then why would Yarshim be excluded from Tmura? Because the exclusion of Shutfim in Tmura should not apply in the case of Yarshim, because presumably, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yerusha Lo Kanya, so there's no kinyan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand say, like in the case of Mincha, that the Yarshim are not considered violent, there's no Shutfis, and therefore they can bring the Karban Mincha, but on the other hand he says they can't be Meimir because they're Shutfim. What do you mean they're Shutfim? If you're holding Yerusha Lo Kanya, that's why the Mincha is kosher, why can't they do the Tmura?
Why do they need to do a Tmura?
No. If they decided to do it tomorrow, we don't encourage it. It's a violation of a lot of rights. But yeah, we want to know if they could accomplish the goal of who tomorrow so kodesh. So Rabbi Yochanan says no, they can't. They can't effectuate it tomorrow because they're shutfim. What do you mean they're shutfim? They're not shutfim. Rabbi Yochanan himself says that Yerushim are not shutfim because Yerusha Lo Kanya, and therefore the Mincha is kosher. So the Gemara answers that in with regard to tomorrow, there's a separate Allah. And that's here on Daf Vav Amin Aleph, the second line. The Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, the Amakra, in Hamer Yamir, Larabos is Hayorish, but only a Yorish in the singular, but not two Yorishim, because Echad Meimir V'ein Shnayim Mimir. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the double language of Hamer Yamir is going to exclude the case of Yorishim, Maski Flavor of Yaakov, is Elmiata Gabi Maser the Tziva Im Gaol Yigaal Larava Sayorish? Again, we're going to assume that that's only one Yorish and not two Yorishim, and therefore, when the Torah says that there's a pidyon process of Maaseh Sheni that engenders a Chiyuv of Chomesh, it's Hokinami Echad Goel Vein Shnayim Goel. Should we say therefore that the Yorishim should not be included in the parsha of Gaol Yigaal? And the Gemara answers, Shiny Maser, Dilagabi Avuan, Nami Isa Beshutfus. And that's what we saw. Now, Rashi says over here that we need a ribuy of Yoresh to tell me that the Yoresh is Mosif Chomesh and he could be pulled in the Miser of his farm. And we're not 100% sure exactly why we need a ribuy for Yoresh to allow him to be pulled to the master of his father, but the Ravid has a whole nother approach to this ribui of Yorish. What does it mean, the Rabos es Yorish? The Ravid, again, without quoting Rashi, he asks the following kasha on Rashi. He says, Kasha Yorish lomali the ribuye. Well, why would we have a halamina to exclude a Yorish from being poda the master of his father? Right, and adding a chum. Says the Ravid, Lo Yehei Ella Shenitan Lo B'matona. What would be if somebody gave you a matona of Maaseh Sheni? Would you have a halamina that you're not poda, you're not most of a chomesh? So let's again, just the Yechiel came in a little late, so just that we're doing the Ravid that you beautifully copied for me. Right? And the Ravid wants to know why do we need Ga'ol Yig'al as a Ribui for a Yoresh? Well, what was the happening that a Yoresh would not inherit his father's Ma'aser Sheni and be Podid with the same dinim that apply in general to Pidyon Ma'aser? Rabbi Krop. So here's the writer's answer. He says, Ikal of Meimar, the Makabal Maton of the Yoresh had Shita Minu. Enochiname. Forget about Yoresh. You can talk about a Makabal Matonov. A Yoresh is no different than a Makabal Matonov. And now the writer is expanding the scope of his question. Now we want to know, why do we need a ribui of Ga'ol Yig'al for both Makabal Matana and Yorish? They're both together in the same boat. They're both fundamentally the same, at root, the same issue. Says the Ravid, Kamashmon, why do we need this pasuk? The Meiser Mamon Hejotu. In other words, we have a sheet of Rabbi Meir, we'll get to it in a minute. Rabbi Meir holds a Meiser Sheni Mamon Govoha. And therefore, there's no way that I can transfer ownership over Meiser Sheni because I'm not the Bailam. However, this pasuk is coming to tell you, Afuke Rabbi Meir, that we hold that Meiser Sheni Mamon Hejotu. Therefore, Matzi L'Orute U'Matzi L'Meir Matona. Again, both are in the same category. Can I transfer ownership of a Meiser Sheni? Let's say, for example, I want to give you a gift of Meiser Sheni. Soon we'll talk about being Mekadesh and Isha with Meiser Sheni, right? Is that considered a gift? It all depends on whether I own the Meiser Sheni. Is it my moment? Or shall we say the very moment I designated as Meiser Sheni? Now, it has Kedushas Meiser Sheni. It has to be brought to Yerushalayim. It's not really mine. Even though the Torah gives me the mitzvah of eating it, but that's a special mitzvah of, let's call Meiser Sheni Hegdesh. Normally in Hegdesh, I can't benefit from it. Here in the case of the Hegdesh of Meiser Sheni, the Torah says, Adarav, benefit from it. Eat it because you shall so live in Tzvaso in Yerushalayim. But in the meantime, I have very restricted rights as an owner to this Meiser Sheni. I have to bring it to Yerushalayim. I can't do whatever I want with it. And if I hold Meiser Sheni Mamon Gavod, I can't be machnit to someone as a matana, lo yav le matana, and lo orte lebre, he can't be morishit to his son. And if that be the case, ki parik le, if he goes ahead and he's poded, whether it's again a yoresh or a makabel matana, is Meiser denafshi parik uposif chomish. I wouldn't have known that he has to be Mosif HaChomesh, because the halacha requires the owner to be Mosif HaChomesh. He's not the owner. Kamash Malan, the Pasuk says, name. He, Meiser Sheni, is Mamon Hejot. It's his own private Mamon. And therefore, he can be Machnit. He can be Machnit through Matana, he can be Machnit through Yerusha. And therefore, the Makal Matana, or the Yoresh, is now the Bailin. And if he's the Bailin, because Meiser Sheni Mamon Hejot Ninu, he goes through the regular channels of being Poder his own Meiser, and if he's Poder his own Meiser, he has to be Mafrish, he has to be Mosif Chomesh. Says the Rabbi Dilla Rabbi Meir, this whole drush is coming Lafuke Rabbi Meir, Diyama Meiser Sheni Mamon Gavah, Velo Matzi Yavle Matana, Velo Matzi Liorte Libre. This is the first answer of the Rabbi. So according to this first approach of the Rabbi, we would not have a possibility in the case of Makabel Matana or Yoresh to impose upon him the law of Pidyon with a Mosif Chomesh, because Meiser Sheni Mamon Gavod, and we don't have a channel and a mode of acquisition. That's the first approach of the Rav. So according to the first approach of the Rav, there's no difference between Makabel Matana and Yoresh. In both cases, Rabbi Meir is going to say that Mamon Gavod Minu, and therefore you can't transfer ownership over the Meiser Sheni. And now the Rav in the Imam, he wants to take a different approach and set up a difference between Makabel Matana and Yoresh, even according to Rabbi Meir. Which means that even according to Rabbi Meir, we don't need a pasuk for Makabel Matana. We need a pasuk for Yoresh. That's going to be very daunting, very challenging. How could the Ravid say that we're going to Rabbi Meir Mamon Gavon Ninhu, and yet Yesh L'Chalek Ben Yoiv Matana Li Orte Libre? The Braisa was very meticulous and derived a pasuk from this pasuk Yoresh, or the Santa Shaluf, I'm sorry. The Loka Omer Makabel Matana, meaning as far as Makabel Matana is concerned, Rabbi Meir would agree that even though Maisa Sheni is Mamon Gofoa, and therefore there's no way I can transfer ownership on Matana, and anything, I mean, in the case of Makabel Matana, there was never a Joshua, and therefore there was never a Ribui for Makabel Matana. The Afagav de Matana Lo Matzi Yoevle. The Inyan Yerusha, here Rabbi Meir is going to accept this drasha, and a ribui for Yerusha is Moda Yoresh b'makom avivkai. And if he's b'makom avivkai, is kihechi the parklei aviv, just like his father would be poda the master sheni and had a chomesh, is ki parklei yoiv chomesh. Now again, we're going to have an analysis here of the Raivin, but we're going to first read the words of the Raivin. The impression you get from the Raivin's words is that he's only the Makom Aviv, meaning just like there's no Yoev Le Matana if you hold Maman Kofod, you know, there's no Arte Libre in the case of Yerusha, because we're talking about Maisu Sheni Maman Kofod. But from Desveg, despite the fact that he's not the Bailim, meaning the Oresh doesn't have an acquisition, nevertheless he's going to be Poder. He's going to be pulled in the Maisa with the whole 9 yards with the Tosefes Chomesh. Right. But if you're careful about the language of the Raivin, he says the Yoresh B'makom Aviv Kari. And those words are, again, before we see the Biskirov, but those words are reminiscent by sheer association of the concept that we spoke about with regard to Korbanos. Meaning that even though Yerusha Lo Kanya, according to Rabbi Yochanan, but nevertheless they become the Bailim as far as Kapar is concerned. And they could be Miskaper B'Karban Aviv. That the Karban remains the Karban of their father. For example, we discussed, again I don't want to go into it in detail right now, in the case of a Karban Mincha, if the father designated Karban Mincha, we would assume that even if there's a din of kapara on behalf of the Yarshim, and that's why the Yarshim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, will in fact bring the Karban Mincha, but there was no issue in setting up the Kedushas Karban, because at the end of the day, they're being makir of the Mincha of their father. Maybe we'll take a minute to read that inside. If you go back for a second to, I wrote in the Maror Mekomos to Simon Samach Zion, so you'll tell me again what page it's on. And it's a paragraph that says Vanira Mavur.
Ayin Gimel,
excellent. I have it on Ayin Dal. Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. You're always ahead of me. How could I be ahead of you?
Vanira Mavur, you said?
Yeah,
Ayin Vav.
Oh, that makes sense. Because mine is Ayin Dal, so I'm always lagging behind.
There's more than one Ayin.
But yeah, I wrote Hanira Mavur. That's what I wrote on the page. I was very mocked because I know that Hanira is a classical opening of a paragraph in this sefer. He says the shiny Yerushas Karbonos Mishar Yerushas Mamon, right? Because again, we're going to Rabbi Yochanan, who maintains the position that Yoshim Lokan Yerusha Lokanya. So it can't be the classical Yerusha which engenders an absolute kinyan and completely knocks off the Morish from the. There's no, you know, in the case of Yerusha, the Morish is not in the shadows, if you follow me. You know, he's not there in the background. He's out of the picture. That's as far as Mammon is concerned. You could have applied that even in the case of Karbanos, and that would be Yerusha Kanya. Rabbi Yochanan refuses to accept that position of Yerusha Kanya, and therefore, in some sense, the father, the Morish, is still there in the shadows. So he says the following: the Kol Yerushas Mamon, we achar Yerusha lo avi Mamon of Klal in Dini Mamonis and Kol Shemish. But the father is, as a Morish, is completely history, as we'd say. Avol Yerushas Karbanos, he says, even though the father is gone, the children, the Yarshim, are going to be makriv the carbon lechovas ha'av. And you may recall that we said something similar with regard to Yoledes, that if she was mafresh her chatos during her lifetime, she brought the chatos, her yorshin will bring the korban ola for the chovas ha'ed. They might not have any other independent chova. Again, we had a hechatimtzu where maybe the daughter was the yoledes herself, so that the kaparis yoledes would be relevant to her. But as far as the chiyuv korban is concerned, it's the korban ha'ima, here's the korban ha'av. And he has a sugya in the Sefer Menachos for this. All right, he doesn't quote the sugya here. He says, "Dina Yerusha beKarbanos Hu Bazeh Shaben Yochel Iskaper beKarban Av." Do you remember this? This is the very sensitive paradox of Yerusha as far as Karbanos is concerned. That really the Karban is Karban Aviv, and the Chiyuv of the Karban is Chiyuv Aviv. And even Liachar Misa, as far as Hilchos Karbanos is concerned, the father still remains the Bala Karban. So it's called Karban Aviv. So what does Yerusha accomplish? And it's not the classical Yerusha which knocks off the Morish. No, the Morish is still very much there. But the Yarshim have a Schus Kapara that they can be Miskaper, but Karban Aviv. So it's called Karban Aviv, and that's going to be great news for Menachos. Because again, we want to avoid any sort of shutfis. So the answer is Yerusha Lokanya and the Yerushim are not shutfis because they're only bringing the carbon aviv, but they have rights to kapara the carbon aviv. And therefore, clearly, in the case of. Right, so let's leave Menachos. Menachos is going to be the simple case where even though there's no minchan on behalf of shutfin, but here they bring carbon aviv, so therefore they can bring a carbon and they have schus to be miskapim carbon. But let's go over for a minute to tmura, because that's our sugya today, tmura / maaser sheni, that analogy. So he says, if not for the pasuk that includes a yorish in the exclusion, if you followed my language, right? In other words, that the miyud expands to include a yorish. If not for that, I would have said the following: that maybe a yorish is not included in the exclusion. Right? The exclusion is shutfim. That shutfim can't be meimer, but maybe a yorish could be meimer. If not for the special drasha, he says lahachi. Therefore, lule kra. If not for the pasuk of im hamer yomer to exclude a yorish. In the case of two Yorishim, Havamina, I would have said, the Ein Yorish Meimir, that Yorish in general can't even be Meimir. So I mean, if you remember, the Hamer Yomer has both a Ribui and a Mir to it. That's the double language. So the Ribui is coming to tell you that a Yorish could be Meimir. What was the Havamina to say that a Yorish can't be Meimir? I mean, he's bringing the Karma. Why can't he be Meimir, the Kedusha from that Karma, and clone it onto the other Karma? The answer is Kevin Dolo Mikri Karma Shalom. Who owns this karbon in Hilchos Karbanos? It's still Liav. He's the Balak karbon in the sense of his karbon is being brought. Again, it's not that he's the miskaper, because Ein Kapar LeMeisim, the kapar is certainly on behalf of the Yorish, but nevertheless, since the Yorish has this very equivocal kind of relationship to his karbon, on the one hand he's bringing it l'karbon aviv, l'chovas aviv, on the other hand he's miskaper, well, that's going to be a sugyan tvur in the previous paragraph, van nira, not van nira mavur, but van nira lomar, that's a sugyan in tvur on daf beis and beis, and that sugyan is going to vacillate about the ability of Tmura in the case of someone who's the Miskaper but he's not the Bailim. And therefore in the case of the Yorish, he's also the Miskaper but he's not the Bailim. So I need a special Ribri to include a Yorish. And it could be that universally a Miskaper would not be able to achieve it could be that universally a Miskaper could be Meimir even if he's not the Bailim. But in the case of the Yorish, the Torah excludes the Yorish. In other words, we're expanding the meaning of shutfin to include yorish. He says, "Hama mina di ein yorish." I'm sorry, I said it wrong. I didn't get to the case. I skipped the case of two yorish. Let's go back to the case of one yorish. So there's only one son. There's only Chanoch ben Reuven. So he says, "Lulei kra," because again, the pasuk has two words to it. So one word is going to be used as a ribui for yorish, and the other is going to exclude a yorish. The first one is going to include a yorish when there's only one yorish. And a second word is going to exclude a yoresh when there are two yoresh. So let's go through it step by step. As far as the ribui is concerned, that even a yoresh could be what? Could be meimir. And that's a big chiddush because Amos Kaper, who's not the Bala Karma, according to one side of the Gemara, in Tmura cannot be meimir. So how do I know that a yoresh could be meimir? A yoresh l'char fits into this paradigmic scenario or category called a miskaper she'eno bailiv, right? So let's say, for example, I own a korban and I sell you rights to be the miskaper on the korban. So you might not be able to be a meimir. You cannot accomplish tmura because although you're the miskaper, but you're not the bala korban, right? You can have vacillation back foot, who actually eats the basar korban in the case of shlomim?
That's a miyut, that's a miyut.
Well, again, that would be an automatic miyut of a miskaper who's not the bailiv. Right. Here the Torah wants to say that Yoresh is one step above,
right.
He's one notch above, and his status is that of a miskaper who's not the bala korban, in other words, he's bringing his father's korban, but yet he can be meimir, and that for that I need a special ribui. And then I'm going to have a meimir in the case with a two yarshim. And even though a yarish, if he's the singular yarish, he can be meimir, but if he's got a brother, he's got a buddy here who's also yarish, the schus of kapara, then they cannot achieve the tmura. We want to suggest that's been in the Maisa Hamara. We'll get back to that soon. He says the following. In the Hava Mina, we would think that the Yorish cannot achieve Tmura. Why? Because it's the father's carbon, LDH, all he has in his carbon is Bailus Miskaper B'Karbon. So he's being Miskaper in someone else's carbon. We said it before, that if someone is being Miskaper with someone else's carbon, he cannot achieve Tmura. So here I need a ribui for Yorish. So that even though he's being Miskaper B'Karbon Aviv, nevertheless he can achieve what? He can achieve tmura, but in the case of two yarshim, that's impossible. Why? Because they can't do a maisa hamara as a buddy system. You know, the two people being meimir. And he said, and that's gzeiras hakosim with milay meir yamir. The Gemara wants to apply that gzeiras hakosim to the case of maisa sheni. And he says again, you know, I'm looking at two different paragraphs here, so we get back to our paragraph, which is here on Siman Ayin. He says the following, that according to the second teretz of the Ravid is saying that in the case, within the context of Rabbi Meir, in the case of Maisa Sheni Mabu Gavoa, as far as Matan is concerned, he cannot be included in the parasha of Pidyon / Chomesh because it's not his karma. I'm sorry, it's not his Maisa Sheni. But what about the case of a Yoresh? So for that we have a special ribui. And what's the ribui? The ribui is going to be that even though, says the Ravid, he is inheriting his father's Maisa Sheni, because again, in Kinyonim, it remains his father's Maisa Sheni because there's no Kinyon in the classical Kinyon of what? Of Maisa Sheni of Bailus, because Maisa Sheni is what? Is Mamon Gavoh according to Rabbi Meir. Oh, but in Yerusha, there's going to be a special ribui that the Yoresh, despite his deficiency, his lack of an ability to create this kinyan, nevertheless he can be poda, and now basically he's doing a pigeon, says the Ravid, of Maisa Sheni Shel Aviv. Where do I see that in the language of the Ravid? The Ravid says Afal Gav de Mimatona Lomatzi Yoivle. In other words, the Balaha, whoever the Balaha Maisa Sheni is, he cannot transfer ownership through what? Through Matana. But Le'inyan Yerusha, that's where we have this drasha, which tomorrow again, the drasha brings, only mentions Yerusha, doesn't mention no same Matana. Says the Ravid, what's this bombastic, revolutionary chiddush that a Yoresh is included in the parasha of Pidja Maisisheni with a Tosefes Chomesh. It's even Rabbi Meir is going to accept this drasha, the Yoresh B'makom Aviv Kai, meaning his process of Pidjon is a process of being Poda his father's Maisisheni. Again, you know, the concept of shlichus sort of appears in the, you know, pops up in the back of our minds. And really, the process here of pidyon with the Tosefes Chomesh is really the father's process of pidyon. The father can't do the pidyon, and he certainly can't pay a chomesh, but the yoresh now steps into the feet, the shoes of his father. The chiparikleh, when he's being poed to this maisim sheni, is yoiv chomesh as if he was b'makom avu. And now the rabbi has to prove such a concept. Where do you find a precedent in the laws of Pidjon and Tosefes Chomesh for this idea that the son can be poda his father's whatever it is, right? That's, well, we're not talking about my shame because now he's stretching his arm out to a precedent where he finds it elsewhere. But again, that precedent is also going to be a case where it's no longer mamon. Mamono, and yet the Yoresh can achieve a pidyon b'makom aviv with a Tosefes Chomesh, and that precedent is going to be what we call Geulas Hegdesh. That in Hegdesh, the Torah says that this Geula. Geula means you can take Hegdesh, again we're talking about Kedushas Domim obviously, and you can be pulled to the Hegdesh and transfer its Kedusha onto the Domim. But b'tnai, only in the condition that you add a chomesh. What happens if the father dies and he leaves Hegdesh b'Yerusha? Hegdesh is clearly mamon gavoa. So what's this Yerusha going to accomplish? Says the Ravid, there's a din that in Hegdeshos, the Yoresh is poder, the Hegdesh that he inherited from his father with the Tosefes Chomesh. How does that happen? Says the Ravid, that operates because he's only b'makom aviv. So if he could be told to the Hegdesh of his father that he inherits, even though that's clearly Mama Gavoa, I don't need Rabbi Meir for that. Everybody agrees that's Mama Gavoa. So for example, if a person wanted to be Makadish and Isha with Hegdesh, he cannot do so because that's clearly Mama Gavoa. Yet, nevertheless, when the father dies and he leaves over Hegdesh for Yerusha to his son, his son can be pulled to the Hegdesh, and not only that, he has to add a Chomesh. And what's going on over here? How does Yerusha accomplish that substitution, or, you know, for being pulled to the Hegdesh?
Would that exerts a concept? That's inspired?
I don't know, I'm not sure. I think it's exerts a concept.
If we need to exerts a concept by our case of opinion, Master Shane, he brings a Raya from another place, he has to do it from a Pasuk, otherwise he
would. Right. Again, he doesn't quote exactly the Sugi, maybe we'll get to it later. But again, let's read the language of the Raya. The Raya says, what's my precedent for a Yoresh being Poda b'makom aviv? Meaning that the Yoresh himself doesn't have any independent ownership that would allow him to be Poda this because it's Mamon Gavoa. And that's Rabbi Meir and Mamon and Maaseh Sheni says the Rabbi, I have a precedent for this. That even without Rabbi Meir, in the case of Hegdesh, clearly everybody agrees, there's no question, it's Mamon Gavoa. What happens when Reuven, the father, dies and he leaves over Hegdesh for Yerusha to his son, Chanoch? Chanoch will be poda the Hegdesh of his father with a Tosefes Chomesh. And that's going to be the precedent for this mechanism called Pidjon, or he calls it being Porek, b'makom of, that a Yorish could be poda b'makom of. Kida Ashkan, where's the precedent? L'inyin Geulas Hegdesh. See, I have Hegdesh that was now left b'Yerusha to the son. Hayorish only b'makom aviv. And that applies not only to his ability to be poda, that's called geula, but also he's included in the whole parasha, the whole package deal of geula, lahosif chomesh. Even though Hegdesh ain't yochol litno b'matana, and if he can't give it to matana, because he has no bialis to acquire, well, I always forget, how do you say transfer ownership in English? The opposite of acquire. No, the acquire is the makabel, but what's the word? To transfer. Okay, there should be a better word for it, I don't know. Anyway, he cannot transfer ownership because it's not his. He doesn't have ownership. So he certainly can't transfer ownership. Says right, he can't transfer ownership neither through the mechanism of Matana, nor through the mechanism of Yerusha. Bafilu Hachi, and nevertheless, even though he has no way of transferring ownership over the Hegdesh, the Yoresh will be Poder. And again, according to the Rabbah, the language is being Poder Makom Aviv, similar to the case of Zvachim of Karbanos, where the Yoresh gets the schus of Kapara to be miskater for the carbon of his father. And Afilu Hachi Amrachmana Rabye. Rabye means we have a ribui, and that ribui tells me that the son will be Poder his father's Hegdesh. So we have a ribui here. So again, the Rabbah vacillates back and forth how to understand this ribui. One way of understanding this ribui is that the Torah is being marbeh both a makabel matana and a yorish, and now we're going against whom? Against Rabbi Meir, and the whole havamina for which we justify a ribui and the need for a pasuk is because of Rabbi Meir. But again, we're going against Rabbi Meir. So the kamashvulan of this pasuk im ga'ol yigael is lafuki Rabbi Meir, meaning that we hold the ma'aseh shei is mamon bailim. Nafkamina that you can be makadosh and isha. Nafkamina that a makabel matana could be poded the ma'aseh. Number three, that the makabel matana, that the yoresh could be poded the ma'aseh. And when I say poded, I mean with the whole kid caboodle. And all this is against Rabbi Meir. So the Torah's Kohanim with the in Ga'ol Yigael, which is quoted here in our sugya, is against Rabbi Meir. That's the first approach of the Raivit. So again, if Rabbi Meir would have been, if you would have addressed this question to Rabbi Meir, can you be Makadosh and Isha with Ma'aser Sheni? Can you give him a ton of Ma'aser Sheni? Can you be poded the Ma'aser Sheni that you received as a matana, or can the Yoresh be poded the Ma'aser Sheni? The answer in all these cases is no, a flat no. Why? Because Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Gavon. So the Rabbit has a problem now. What's the reboot? The reboot seems to assume that A, the way the Rabbit understands in the first approach, A Makabel Matana is poded Ma'aser Sheni, B, a Yorish is Poder Ma'aser Sheni with the whole nine yards. Says the Rabbah, because this Braisa is teaching me that Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Hedra. So it's very interesting. If you were to ask me, what's the Makar for the Shitas Chacham against Rabbi Meir that Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Bailim, I would have told you it's a Svara. Because the Torah says, what do you do with Ma'aser Sheni? You take it to Yerushalayim, and what do you do with it in Yerushalayim? You eat it. And not only that, you can be poded. All this is a reflection of your bialim. So even though, you know, the Torah gives you restricted rights to this Ma'aser Sheni, you know, it's not carte blanche that you can, you know, I can take this table and do whatever I want with it, benefit it in any way if it's my table. And I can even destroy the table if I want. I can't do that in the case of Ma'aser Sheni. It's got a status of hegdesh. The answer is, but it's not regular hegdesh. Why? Because the Torah allows you, as a bialim, number one, to eat it in Yerushalayim, enjoy it, and it benefits me, poded chutz Yerushalayim, and so forth and so on. All that gives me moment bialim. So I would have said it's a svara chitzonis. Comes along the right and says, name. It's not a svara. The position that Ma'aser Sheni is moment bialim, is derived from the fact that number one, the Torah is telling you that a makabel matana is poder the ma'aser sheni. Number two, the Torah is telling you with a special rebu that a yoresh is poder. And he says all that is bitoras mamon hechem. And Rabbi Meir would not tolerate this. But then Rabbi offers a second interpretation, in which even Rabbi Meir has a separate halach in Pidyon, which allows the Yoresh, again, it's a Din Mesuyim and Yoresh, to be Poder Ma'aser Sheni, even though Ma'aser Sheni Mamon Gavon Ninhu. So in all Dinim, it's not your Ma'aser Sheni. The Torah is Mafkia, it has the same Din of Hegesh, it's Mamon Gavon, it's not your Mamon. You can't be Mekadosh and Isha with it, if you can't be Makne, transferred over ownership through Matana. And if it's not yours, then you can't benefit from it in any way, except for the way the Torah prescribes that benefit, that you could be nena from eating it, you shall lie because you shall. So that's a separate kiyum of achilas ma'aser sheni. And therefore, I would have assumed that in the case of Yorish, like the case of Mekabel Matana, there's no possibility of being poded the Maaseh Sheni because he never acquired it. The Yorish never acquired ownership over it. And the answer is that we have a Mezunah Gzeiros HaKosu, and we find this Gzeiros HaKosu, this Ribui A, in the case of Yorish, that's our Torah's Kohen that we're dealing with here in Zvachim Dafov, and B, in the case of Hekdeshos, that Hekdeshos, you can be poder even though it's not yours, and that's only in Yorish. So there's a special halach in Yorish. Says the Rabbi, how do you define that special halach in Yorish? On the one hand, you're telling me Rabbi Meir is right, Mami Gavoa, and a Makabel Matan has no bailus and he can't be boded, and so forth and so on. On the other hand, you're turning around and telling me Yorish. Well, Vosra Bala Bos is Yorish. I mean, he can't acquire ownership through the process of Yerusha. And again, if not for the Ravid, I would have said maybe Yerusha's a different kind of Kenyan, you know, that somehow you can be Kona something, not through the normal, you know, mechanics or channels of Kenyan. Except Zunder did of Yorish. That's a famous Chakir. What is Yorish? Is Yorish Kona something through Hilkos Kenyan, a new Kenyan called Yorish, or no? In the case of Yorish, he just takes over his father's ownership even without Kenyan, but he becomes the violin and so forth. So I could have said perhaps Yorish is a different halacha name. The Ravid says the Yorish is not Kona, because we're holding like Rav Meir. And just like the Mekabel Matan is not Kona, Yorish can't be Kona. So the Ravid says, but there's a new halacha of Pidgin. And how does the Yorish acquire this Chus Pidgin? What's the key phrase in the Ravid? That he's Omeid B'Makom Aviv. Right, let's see the Ravid's language again, just so that we allow it to hack it into our brains here, because again, it's going to have a tremendous impact as far as Zvachim is concerned, in Yerusha's Karbonos. And he says, Mo de Rabbi Meir de Yoresh B'Makom Aviv Kar. It's a new dinner B'Makom Aviv. So the Pidgin is really like an extended arm of the father. Where do we find that a father, even after his death, still at this, he's a balabas over here? And the answer is that's a din in Ekdeshos, and that's what we're going to apply to the case of Zvachim, where I show you back here, where he says that even Lachar Misa, he's bringing Karban Aviv. Right? Mikri Karev Karban Aviv, Vikarev Lachovas Aviv. Do you see the parallel here? So there's Akrova B'Makom Aviv, Lachovas Aviv, and now there's a Pidgin B'Makom Aviv.
And because of
that Pidgin B'Makom Aviv allows you to circumvent the problem of you're not the Bialim. And why aren't you the Bialim? Because we're holding Mamon Gavon.
And that's why you can give the Chomesh, it's because of B'Makom Aviv.
Correct. And what's the precedent for that? Hekdeshos.
Right.
Hine, he says. Again, there's a lot of things that I want to accomplish here before we get to Behine, but since we're hard on this topic, he says Behine. B'tiruto harishon, that's in the first approach of the Ravid. The very next paragraph of Behine.
Is
this an Os Ein? We're studying Ein. I just wanted to shtel to, you know, back to Samachet. Behine betiruta arishon mevur the lekashum chidish din the yoresh mosif chomesh, because again we're going according to the chachamim of Rabbi Meir who hold that ma'aser sheni is mamon hejo. Is kevadavi bailim, so that's the din of bailim. A bailim is poda and he adds a chomesh. Why do I need a pasuk according to the first approach of the Ravid? After all, mamon hejo minu, it's classic. The answer is lememar, in order to teach me and establish that my sheni mamon bailim the ikabo din Yerusha, because who denies that my sheni is mamon bailim? Everybody who denies that my sheni is mamon bailim, Rabbi Meir. He says al tirut zeh koshel arayvid amay riba dafka yorich. Now, the Tzion, the Ravid is going to have to allow for a certain liberal approach to the Pasuk. Not to the Pasuk, I mean to say to the Lashon HaBrayis, the Lashon HaDrash. The Drash only mentions Yorish. According to the first approach of the Ravid, the Chiddush is equally him is equally significant with regard to a Makabel Matana, because when you can also add Kedusha Isha to the list. Okay, the Braisa doesn't have to address Kedusha Isha, but at least tell me the case of Makabel Matana. Can I give my Sasheni to Matana, transfer ownership over my Sasheni through Matana? The answer is that Yerusha is the same as Matana. And that's exactly what the Ravid is aware of. And the Ravid says, this is the first text of the Ravid, it's all the same Yisod. Namely, the Chiddush of this Drasha is that my Sasheni Mamon Hejo Ninu. Alright, I would say Mishtarpanish, you don't have to Shtarpanish from this, them cash. Okay, so the Raisa omitted mention of Makabel Matana.
Except that was Rameir come to say this.
No, this is against Rameir. No, again, according to the Ravid, we're talking about Chachon.
Yeah, but he's talking about from a Pasuk that it's Rameir has.
Oh, so again, so Rameir has a different Josh. I don't know, he's not focused on that now, but the point is that this whole Braisa, this whole Torah's Kodim, from beginning to end, is reflecting the sheet of the Chachamim.
Right.
The Halamina, then that was the need for the Drasha, was from Imeir. But again, there's no difference by a hair's breadth between Makabel Matana and Yorish. They're all the same. They're in the same boat. So that's a little bit of a shtickle, let's say, shtickle dousing the fire, what's the word I want to use there? It reduces the impact of the first teretz, because why are you jumping over to Yorish? Talk to me about a Makabel Matana.
But at that point, if you don't make a difference between Yorish and Makabel Matana, there's still a difference in Pidyon. Because in Pidyon, ordinarily they would not have to give a Chomish.
Right, but again, when you say they, you're talking about two categories. You're talking about A, a Makabel Matana, and B, a Yorish. So why didn't the Raisa mention Makabel Matana? When you think to yourself about a case where Reuven owns Maaser Sheni, you want to know if Shimon could be poed then, he has to add a chomesh, the first case that should come to your mind is a Makabel Matana.
Yeah.
Why does the Braisa completely circumvent Makabel Matana and simply focus exclusively on Yorish? Yorish is a little bit more sophisticated. Again, as I say, I wouldn't... if the Ravid was here, I wouldn't say that the Ravid has to buckle down, and fall curb because of this kasha, but it is a little bit of a ha'ara. But I think the second approach of the Ravid is much more exciting for us, because that's where we found the parallel to Zvach. He says, "B'tir tzasheni, mavur di aflu rabbi meir, de maisa sheni mamar gavoa," which means that he's not the Bailim, he inherits a lot of stuff from his father. Baruch Hashem, his father left him a tremendous estate. But as far as the Maaser Sheni in the estate, that he doesn't inherit. Because the father is not the Bailim to transfer ownership, neither through Kenyan nor through Yerusha, to his son. And therefore, well, what Shaykhus here, a pigeon with a Tosefis Chomesh? And the answer is that this is Xeris HaKosu, but only with regard to whom? A Yorish. This doesn't apply to Makabel Matana. Again, we're in the framework of Rabbi Meir, Mamon Gavar Ninu. So now the Rav is a little bit hard pressed over here. You're going to tell me that Afal Pi, that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavar Ninu. And as far as the Makabel Matana is concerned, for sure he would not have a din of pigeon with a Tosefis Chomesh. But Yorish is different. Why is Yorish any different? So the Rav is sort of hard pressed, and he has to find some sort of a precedent for this. Is a raya mi pigeon ekdeshos the Yorish Moses Chomish of Avgal Oshaita be Yerusha. So he can't inherit Hegdish, because Hegdish is for sure, according to everybody, Mamon Gavoa. It doesn't lend itself to Kinya Yerusha, and yet we have a ribui that says that the Yorish is going to be pulled his father's Hegdish and add a Chomish. Is Muchach din Israbi Yorish, Septetab Zunder din. Of Yorish. Oh, he actually used the terminology. Din Mesuyam of Tosefis Chomesh, Achal Gavdi Eino Bailim. So Yorish is a separate category. In other words, the general rule, which knows no exception, except for Yorish, that if you're not the Bailim, there's no Tosefis Chomesh, the exception to the rule is Abzundar Din, Xeris HaKosim, that Yorish has the Din of a Bailim. He doesn't add yet the main punchline here, which we saw in the Lashon HaRaiv, that he's being poed to the makom of it. Hikshagriz. Okay, now we get to the Briskerah. This was the paragraph actually that I wrote up on the page, I think. This is on the handout that I gave you. This is number 5 Aleph. Okay, we should be in Os Ayin. Dibra Maskel Hikshagriz. Good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we're going back to the first teretz of the Raivid. Again, we had a kasha on the first teretz of the Raivid, why the Braisa omitted Mekabel Maton. The Raivid has to answer that kasha, but the Brisker Rav thinks he has a much more fundamental kasha and objection to the Raivid. He says the following. How do we understand our sugin zvachim according to the Raivid in his first teretz? And Cain, my parach hacha. The name of Echad Goel Veloshnayim Golim. He says the following. You want to know when the din of Pidyon should apply in the case of two brothers that inherited their father. And based on Aloch and Tmura, that Rabbi Yochanan establishes a drasha of him on Mer Yamer, that if the two Yarshim on a carbon, they cannot effectuate tmura. So now you want to say that if there are two yarshim, in the case of what? Of Maisa Shemi, they cannot effectuate pidyon with a Tosefis Chomish. Says the Brisker Rav, I don't understand. Because we're establishing now, both in the case of Makabel Matana and in the case of Yoresh, that Maisa Shemi is Malon Hedger, Mamon Bailin. Now, if he's Mamon Bailin, then basically what do you have over here? You have a case of Shutfin. Shutfin Mamish. I need to say Shutfin in the classical universal sense of Dini Mamonis, of Choshen Mishma. The two Yarshim here are full fledged Bailin. Again, the reason why we needed the Xeris Akasa, because we have who's lurking in the shadows here. We have Rabbi Meir lurking in the shadows, and he's banging down the doors and he's saying, no. There's no Tosefes Chomesh, there's no Bailus here, there's no Makabel Matana, there's no Yoresh, because Mamon Govonin. But this Braisa is establishing Mamon Hedjotnin. Nu, if you're holding Mamon Hedjotnin, is my Parachacha, what does Gemara mean to say, Neva Echad Goel, Velo Shnayim Golim? He says, basically, if you ask me the question, why Yoresh is most of Chomesh, after you have the Chiddush of Mamon Bailin Ninu, there's no chiddush that a Yorish could be most. Again, we need the chiddush of the conceptual breakthrough, the halachic principle of Mamon Hedjot. But once we have Mamon Hedjot, then the Yorish is, we don't have to go back to his father. We can say he has his independent obligation or status within the framework of Pidyon Maaser Sheni, that like any violin, he has to be most of Chomesh. Right, wait, let me read it. Again, Rabosa, you have to bear with me. Again, okay. Ella Hod Mosif, who we should David Bailin. No, if he's a Bailin, then why should we have a Havamina? He says, Umechetesi Lomar, the Ein Shnayim Mosif, that they, in the case of two brothers who inherit their father, should be excluded from a Chomesh. For Shnayim a Bailin. There's no difference between one Yorish and two Yorishim as far as Bailus is concerned. The E Kashalahu, and if you're going to tell me, according to the Makshan, the Chol Shutfim, and that there's some sort of principle that Shutfim lo yosifu chomesh because of the status of Shutfim, does this have anything to do with Yorishim? Meaning, let's talk about Shutfim. You and I own an orchard. The Shutfim. And now we were mafresh maaser sheni. So you can tell me that because we're shutfim, there's no din of tosefes chomesh in the case of a pidyon? Is that what the Gemara is dealing with? Again, there's no difference between shutfim in Yerusha and classical shutfim. So if you're going to tell me that there's some sort of halamina that we're excluding shutfim for tosefes chomesh, don't talk to me about Yorish. Talk to me about shutfim in general. Is Havi Leila Sugya, like Shuye Mikol Shutfis? Maybe the Gemara should have risen up against Rabbi Yochanan and said, Rabbi Yochanan, here in the way that you're darshaning that shutfim are excluded from tmura, we should also say that shutfim are excluded from
pigeon.
That has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that Yerushal Okanya in Zvot. But now we're talking about a whole different question. We're talking about the question of who owns the Maisa Shein. Mimonash, if you are like Rabbi Meir, then there's no way of transferring ownership of Maisa Sheini, and the Yorshim, like the Makabal Matona, should, according to this first teretz of the Rabbis, should not be able to be pulled the Maisa Sheini with the Tosefis Kovach. Fine. But now we're going according to the Chachamim, who say that the normal channels of acquisition of Kinyanim, of Bailus, apply to Maisa Sheini like they do to everything else. After we have the Chiddush against Rabbi Meir, is Mom and Bailim. Is of Mimela, there's no difference between a Makabal Matana, between a Yoresh, anybody. They all have full-fledged Bailus, and therefore they're included in the Parsha of Tosefes Chomesh. El, what are you going to tell me? But maybe there's an exclusion of Shutfis. Well, that has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. That's just an issue whether Shutfis are Chayim in Tosefes Chomesh. Maybe they'll each split. You have to know whether each Shutfis will pay a full Chomesh on the price, or maybe they'll split the Chomesh. I don't know. But there's a din of shutfim. So you want to tell me that, well, you know what, we had a havamina, and that's why the Gzeres HaKodesh is coming to Afuke, that shutfim are not chayev in Tosefes Chomesh. What does it have to do, A, with Yerusha, and B, what does it have to do with Rabbi Yochanan? So he says the following, Havi lakshuye, this is his first question of the Briskero, Havi lakshuye mikol shutfim. Should we say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that shutfim are excluded not only from Hamara and Tmur and Zvokim, but also from Tosefes Chomesh and Pidyon Maaseh Sheni? We also, Kasha, my second question is, if you can ask a question from all of shutfim, that maybe there's some sort of Gzeres HaKasu that shutfim are excluded, we can apply the same exclusion of shutfim that we saw in Tmura to the case of what? Of Maaseh Sheni. Okay, you want to exclude shutfim. What does that have to do with Rabbi Yochanan? E kashale, mikol shutfim, is yochal hachos came aflitzad the yorish kanya. Forget about Rabbi Yochanan. You want to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds Yerusha lo kanya. Let's assume Yerusha kanya. Even those who would question Rabbi Yochanan have to agree that Yerusha kanya. And you're going to tell me that the reason why ein yorshim osim tmura is not the way Rabbi Yochanan said it, because of the special din that two Yarshim, even though they're not really Yarshim and they don't have Bailus, but since they're coming for this Kapara, they have to both, in terms of this chus of Tmura, they have to both come together and effectuate a Tmura, and that they can't do. According to those who reject Rabbi Yochanan, there's a separate din that Yarshim, insofar as they have a Kinyan, because not like Rabbi Yochanan, but Yerusha Kanya, they become full-fledged Shutfim, and they cannot effectuate a Tmura. And now you want to extend that principle to Maaseh Sheni, then the same kasha that applies to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan should not be the target, the victim of this attack, because even those who disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, they certainly agree with the Kal Vachomer that Yorshim cannot effectuate a Tmura because of the Kinyan. So Adarava, if you're going to take that principle of Shutfis that excludes Shutfim from Tmura, and you're going to apply it now by extension to Maaseh Sheni as far as Tosefes Chomesh is concerned, so let's rise up with the Kal Vachomer and ask this objection, raise this objection according to the Chol Kimah and Rabbi Yochanan, hold that Yerusha Kanya, and say, how is it possible for two Yarshim, who are now full-fledged Kinyan with the old Yerusha Kanya, to effectuate a pigeon with a Tosefes Chomesh? Ubi Gemara Mashma Demak Shalak, the whole thrust of this cash is to attack whom? Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Yerusha Lo Kanya. Why is that a cash on Rabbi Yochanan? Everybody have the two kashas, because now we're ready for the bomb kash of the Briskero. Again, this is all attack on the first approach of the Rabbi. We'll soon see that the second approach of the Rabbi is free of all these attacks.
Well, maybe because we know what the Gemara's answer is. Now, it can't be a question on the Bar Kulta of Rabbi Yochanan, because the Gemara says that the father, when he was the owner of the he was able to do B'shutfis and Nipal de Maaseh Sheni with the Pal Chomesh. There's no Shaila that someone who has a full-fledged ownership can do it from the father. The Gemara's answer is
that. See, you're again a step ahead of me here, because you're up to the Teretz of the Gemara.
Right, so
I'm not even up to the Teretz of the Gemara.
Okay, so this is before we know that.
Right.
Before we know
this
the father,
is,
can do it
this
himself.
Is okay. What he's saying is that the Gemara, in its premise, is attacking Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan has this new halacha of shutfis, which is quasi shutfis. It's not the real makoy shutfis because Rabbi Yochanan maintains that Yoresh Yerusha lo kanya, and therefore in this context of this quasi shutfis, we should come to the absurd and untenable position that in the case of Maisa Sheni, the Yorshim cannot effectuate a pidyon, which we know is not true. When I say effectuate a pidyon, I mean with the Tosefis Chomesh. Effective Brisker Rav, I don't get it. According to the Ravid, what we're telling you here in this Gzeiros HaKosuv, or I shouldn't say this Gzeiros HaKosuv, let's call it in this Drasha, is that Maisa Sheni Mamon Hejo Ninhu. In which case, whether it's Matana, Makabel Matana, whether it's Yoresh, there's a full-fledged Kenyan, and that's why there's a Tosefis Chomesh. If that be the case, then what does that have to do with the case of two Yorshim? And two Yorshim, they're no less Bailim to be Machayev them in Tosefis Chomesh than any case of Bailim. Narvas, so you're going to tell me that there's a brand new halacha that should be Machayev in Tosefis Chomesh. Okay, you want to derive that conclusion. That has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. Because we're not talking about does he have bialus, does he not have bialus, we're not talking about creating some sort of quasi-bialus of shutfis that's not really shutfis, and that was the yesoda yesodas of Tmura that Rabbi Yochanan established, and now we're going to apply that yesoda yesodas to Maisa Sheni as far as those seven chomesh. Forget about all that. If you're granting a havamina that shutfim are excluded, then that has nothing to do with Yerusha. And has certainly nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. If I grant you that there's some sort of din in shutfis, you know, we always say, the way we always understand shutfis is really just the bialus of the yochin times two. It's not new entity, you know, it's not like tzibur. But let's assume that there's some sort of new entity of shutfis. We saw it in the case of mincha, of karban mincha. And now we're going to apply it somehow magically to Maisa Sheni, that shutfim apartum from Tosefis Shom. If that be the case, ask me a case of shutfis. We both own an orchard. And we will mafresh Maisa Sheni. Now we want to be posed in Maisa Sheni and bring the money to Yerushalayim. Do we have to add a chomesh? Do we not have to add a chomesh? It has nothing to do with Yarshim. Yarshim are no less bailim and shutfim in the full-fledged bailis than any other shutfim.
Not according to the
Yochanan. According to the Ravid's first approach. Because again, what was the Ravid saying? That the first approach is being machadish, that Maisa Sheni is momon hedja. So therefore the Ravid says there's no difference here between Makabel Matana and Yorshim. In both cases, the chiddush of this drush is to tell you that it's yours. If it's yours, you chayv in Tosefis Chomesh. Now you want to tell only if it's yours as a single man, but not if it's yours as what? As a shutuf. So ask yourself the following question. Two people own an orchard. The shutfis. Are they chayv in Tosefis Chomesh or are they not? Has nothing to do with Yorshim. And if that be the case, if the Gemara in Zvachim is adding an element here of shutfis into the equation, you know, the Braisa did not add the element of shutfis, because the Braisa understood that once a machadish that Tosefis Chomesh applies to a Yoresh, or for that matter to Makabel Matan in the Ravid, then Einoch Hinami, a shutfis is no different than a regular owner. He has full-fledged ownership. In other words, we're not assuming that shutfis is a partial ownership. It's a complete ownership. And the shutfim are both bialim, and therefore the Braisa assumes, without even blinking an eyelash, that shutfim are chayv in Tosefis Chomesh. You have a problem with that? You believe that somehow shutfim should be excluded from Tosefis Chomesh? Don't ask your question about shutfim. Don't ask your question about Yorshim. And furthermore, why do you attack Rabbi Yochanan? The Baal Plugt of Rabbi Yochanan holds Yerusha Kanya. No, if there's halacha to exclude shutfim, if there's such a havamina in the Gemara, then for sure, do the Kal v'Chomer you want to exclude shutfim if you hold against Rabbi Yochanan and Yerusha Kanya? The Ode, and now he gets to, I think, the bomb kasha. Hiksha agrees. E is for Maisa Sheni din Yerusha. In other words, now we're holding that Maisa Sheni is Momon Hejok Minu, and therefore it's subject to the laws of Yerusha. The Ode should become full-fledged Bailim. Ech nitan klal lemaiti echad gol v'ein shnei golim. In other words, that there's no Tosefis Chomesh for two Yarshim, right? We have Chanoth ben Ruvain together with Levi ben Ruvain, whatever it is. Hakema de'ika din Yerusha in Cain kol echad avi bailim al chelko v'chol echad po de chelko. You remember I asked you exactly how pidyon works in the case of shutfim. So he wants to say the following. Basically, shutfim means that you have one chelik in this. In the case of Maisa Sheni and these payrolls, And I have my chilek in the Teiros. You know, this touches on Masechta Bava Basra, you know, what we call Tfusas Abayis. In other words, is it, you know, what's the status of Yerusha before Chalukas HaYerusha, Chalukas HaYosha? So he says the following, Kol Echad Avibaylim Al Chelko, you know, this is the sugya of Brera, you know, V.M.K., Lo Shaykh Lamayit, the Einshnei Gol, and the Kol Echad Ugol B'fnei Atzmo. This is a mind-boggling, profound kasha of the Brisker Rav. He says the following, that Shnei Golem means that neither one of the Golem stands on his own. And that's why we have a mirror of Shnei Golem in the Kash of the Gemara. So in the Hamid of the Gemara, again, we're not up to the Teretz, when there are two people who are coming to be Goel, the Torah says, well, you know what, you're coming as a, what's it called, a duet? What's it called in music?
Duet.
A duet. You're coming as a duet, right, to be Poden. That's called Shneim Golem. Zokta Brisker Rav, that's not true in the case of Yarsha. They're not coming as a duet. In Yerusha, each one owns his own chelik. In other words, Yerusha is not like classical Shutfim. So you can talk about classical Shutfim where they have a joint ownership and they may send a shlish, you know, they have to appoint a, what's it called, a Bar HaShoah, I forget what it's called. They have to appoint someone to represent them, right? And that's called Shnei Golem. But here he says, this is not Shnei Golem. So again, you know, at this point, if I was writing a footnote, I'd write a 50-page article on what the status of Yerushim are. You know, they should fit, or each one has his own chelek, and so forth and so on. The Brisker Rav, again, I don't know if he fleshes this out in a broader context, but he's assuming that there's a fundamental difference between Yerushim and Shutfim. In Shutfim, they're coming as a joint duet, as I call it, you know, a Shutfim. But in the case of Yerushim, each one has his own chelek. Again, it may take time until we determine whether you get the north and I get the south, you get the sunny side and I get the the southern exposure, etc., etc. But as far as the ownership is concerned, this is not an ownership of Shutfim's. Every Yerush has his chelek.
Yeah, but that doesn't work if you're talking about Korban. Because you can't be a bottle and a half Korban.
Well, again, are you going to Rabbi Yochanan or the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yochanan? Let's say, Alan, if you hold like the Bar Plukta of Yarsh of Rabbi Yochanan, then you apply the same, what word am I looking for, the same definitions or the same mechanics that you apply to Didi Mominus to the carbon itself. Meaning, the father's out of the picture when he dies.
Right.
That's already ancient history, and don't even mention it. You know, after Tchias HaMeisim, we'll have a debate about it. But right now, he's out of the picture. And even as far as the Karban is concerned, these two Yarshim are the Baliak Karban. So the Brisker Rav is going to say, well, if they're Baliak Karban, then each one has his chelik in the Karban.
But we can't.
Just one second. If on the end, you're going to hold like Rabbi Yochanan and Yerusha Lo Kanya in Karbanos, then what the Brisker Rav says over here, they call Echad Goel B'fnei Atzmo, that's not going to apply to Kachim. And here's where your point is an excellent point. That with regard to Kachim, there's some sort of new entity called Shutfis. And if there's some sort of new entity called Shutfis, yeah, but this is paradoxical, just one second, because in the case of a Mincha, what am I saying about Mincha?
No, sure.
We're going to Rabbi Yochanan, right? Point to Rabbi Yochanan, each one is in this captain. If we have each one is a miskapin, and the kapora comes from the korban avi, the koin to Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the deal in mincha? In second, the korban is a korban shukis. Right. So I think again, I have to backtrack on some of the. I have to re-examine our fundamentals again. I'm a little bit exhausted, but you know, I had a very bad night's sleep. Yeah, but let's assume the following for time being. That what the Gemara means by Rabbi Yochanan or Yerusha Lo Kanya is to say the following. Mincha, a kor mincha is like any other zevach that you can dip in, you can have two people dipping in to the kapara of a mincha. The exclusion of mincha is from shutfis. Shutfis means when you have full-fledged shutfis. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't believe that through Yerusha there's full-fledged shutfis. Again, that's not like the Ravid over here. The Ravid is assuming that if you hold Maisa Sheni Mamon Gov, yeah, because the Ravid is not talking about Zvach. Okay, there's a lot of different nuances here, but just to use the Ravid with Saber to Ozen, the Ravid is understanding Maisa Sheni from the perspective of classical Choshe Mishpat, because he's holding that Maisa Sheni is mine. It's my personal ownership. If it's my personal ownership, then I could be marketed to someone else. And likewise, if the owner of the Maisa Sheni dies, then the Yorshim have full-fledged ownership, which the Brisker Rabbi identifies as Kol Echad Yesh Lo Chelko. That's the way Yerusha works. The Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Zvachim, is saying the following, that in Zvachim, we're not talking about Shutfas. You can call it a quasi-shutfas as far as Tmur is concerned, to effectuate Tmura, but if you're talking about the Gufo Shel Karban, then Chanoch ben Ruvain and Levi ben Ruvain do not have shutfas in the Karban. They have rights to the Kapar of the Karban, and those rights exist even in the case of a Karban Mincha. The exclusion of Mincha as far as shutfas is concerned is full-fledged shutfas. Says Rabbi Yochanan, there is no such thing as full-fledged shutfas in what? In Kodshim, in Zvachim. Why? Because Yerusha Lo Kanya. Yerusha Lo Kanya means that all you inherit from your father is the schus of kapara by bringing your father's karma. So really, as far as the ownership of the karma, there's only one owner. That's not the case of shutfin manish. Let's say two shutfin come along and they both own a shtickle flower, right? Flower, I don't mean with a W, I mean F-L-O-U-R. And they want to bring that as a karma mincha b'shutfis. That's what the Torah says that it's excluded. Why the heft of the karman is a karma shel shutfin. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says, but that doesn't apply to Yarshim. Why? Because in Yarshim, there's no classical ownership in Zvachim. The only ownership in Zvachim that you could inherit through Yerusha is as far as the miskaper is concerned. So it doesn't bother me that you have two miskaprim on one carbon mincha. That's not called shutfis. And let them both enjoy the benefit of bringing their father's mincha, and they'll both dip into the kapara. But not so in the case of Tmura. In the case of Tmura, Rabbi Yochanan admits, based on a pasuk, that ein shnayim memirim, even though, again, these are yarshim who do not have classical shutfis. There's no bialus in the classical sense of like Dini Mamanis. There's no mirror image of Dini Mamanis. And that's why we saw in Mincha that all they have is what is chus to be miskaper b'karban adam. The same thing is going to apply here as far as Tmur is concerned. There's no shutfis, but there's a b'zudra halach of quasi shutfis, because the Torah says that ein shnayim memirim. We wanted to suggest, again, we're in trouble with the Brisker Rav a little bit, not this Brisker Rav that we're doing now, but a different Brisker Rav, but we wanted to suggest, and we want to go back and re-examine this, that here's a different halacha. This is a halacha, just one second, in the Maisa Hamara, that even though they're not shutfim in the classical sense, as far as the carbon is concerned, the carbon could generate kapar for both of them, even in the case of Tmura, but rather they can't effectuate Tmura. Right. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, can Shutfim effectuate a pigeon with a Tosefis Chomesh? Says the Ravid in his first teretz, why not? I may need a pasuk to be revealed, but why not? Frekta Brisker Rav, three kashas. Kasha number one, I don't understand. How can the Ravid interpret this price as telling me, why not? What do you mean, why not? Why not has nothing to do with Yerusha. Why not? Okay, right? In the Ravid's frame of reference, the first step is the Ravid. Has to do with Shutfim in general. Has nothing to do with Yerusha. If there's some halacha that Shutfim can't be chayav in Tosefes Chomesh in the case of Pidyon Maisa Sheni, then talk to me about Shutfim. Don't talk to me about Yarshim. Yarshim are exactly Shutfim. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two is, why is the Gemara up in arms against Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Lo Kanya, and there's this new concept that we called, and we derived from Tmura, of quasi-shutfis, that ein shnayim memirim, has nothing to do with that. You're telling me shutfim are excluded from the chiyuv of Tosefes Chomesh? Don't blame Rabbi Yochanan for that. Let's assume Yerusha Kanya, hut nitzatan. But the third kasha of the Ravid, this is very profound. The Ravid says, what do you mean, ein shnayim golden? Einstein Golem sounds like, you know, they both have to be Goel as a joint effort. And in Tmura we saw they can't effectuate in a joint effort because they're both of this capital and the carbon, they can't effectuate a Tmura. And you want to say the same thing applies to the Pidyon Maaseh Sheni with regard to Tosefes Chomesh. Says the Raiva, says the Brisker Rav, if you're going with the Raiva that we're talking about Mom and Hejod Ninu, this is classical Shutfes. If it's classical Shutfes, in the case of Yerusha, each one owns half of it. So don't tell me that there's a difference between Shutfim and Yarshim. You might think that in the case of Shutfim, there's some sort of exclusion because they're both coming as a joint ownership, as one entity. You know, they appoint one Shlish who's going to represent them. He gets Yipui Koch. And they're going to be chayiv in no, we can't let them be chayiv in what you call it in chomish, because there's no one that you can point to. You know, you can't say, well, he's chayiv in chomish. Mm-hmm. It's a they, not a he. So the Brisker Rav says that's not true in the case of Yarshim. Case of Yarshim, each one has a bialus of his own. Again, we don't know which chelik yet. It may take a while till Bezin gets involved in chalukas Yerusha. And there are full sugis in the Sefer Babasar about how Bezdin effectuates the Chalukah, and whether or not you say Brera, that Gloy Milsam Afreya, that Reuven got the north side from the moment of his father's death, and Shimon got the south side from the moment of his father's death. But either way you slice the cake, the Yarshim are each an individual owner on their specific Chalik. Not so in the case of Yarshim, in the case of Shutfim. In the case of Shutfim, there's one Chalik, indivisible, that's owned by two people. So if you weren't applying this Ein Shnayim Golem to the case of Yarshim, if you could apply it to the case of Shutfim, then you could say Ein Shnayim Golem. But to apply it to the case of Yarshim in the Raivin's first teretz, where the Raivin holds that Mamon, in his first teretz, Mamon Bailin Ninu, this is classical Choshe Mishpatika Yerusha. Those are the three kashas of the Raivin, of the Brisker, on the Raivin. And he says, Ayin Ram Milchus Ishus. Okay. The Rambam says the following. A man was Makadish and Isha B'maiser Shein. Now, the Rambam has to take a stand on the issue between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Do I have personal ownership over Maaseh Sheni? Is it considered bialus? Says the Rambam, Bein B'Shogeg Bein B'Mezid. Okay, you have to know why the Rambam has to add Shogeg here. Ein of a Kudeshus. When I give a woman Maaseh Sheni, I'm not the bialin to give her something that she acquires from me. But here the Rambam adds a whole shtickle to it. Says the Rambam, Lefisha ein lo lasos bo shar chafoto ad she yischala shenema b'maisel Hashem hu. So it could be that the Rambam is telling you what Rabbi Meir is all about. The Rambam accepts Rabbi Meir. Maaseh Sheni is Mamon Govoa. That's how Reb Chaim understood this Raivid. I'm sorry, this Rambam. And the Rambam is giving you an insight of all places in Hilchos Maaseh, not in Hilchos Maaseh Sheni, but in Hilchos Ishus, as to why we paskin, why we accept Rabbi Meir's logic that Mamon Govoa. Because basically,
he has a pasuk.
Yeah, Lashem. And what is this pasuk telling me? The Rambam gives a whole elaborate explanation that what does it mean? The Torah is saying, you know what? Up until chilul, until you do a chilul on it, stay away. You have no rights to it. Even though, again, the Chacham would counter argue that although now I can't benefit from it, but the Torah allows me to bring it to Yerushalayim and benefit from it. But the Rambam is saying that wait till you get to Yerushalayim, or alternatively, wait till you do a pidyon. In the meantime, in the interim, stay away. Keep off the grass. You have no benefit from this Maaseh Sheni.
But Rambam doesn't say that if you take to Yerushalayim, you can marry a woman with it. You can do a woman with it. Yeah.
So then I don't understand. What would the Rambam say if I took the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim? Could I be Mekadesh and Isha? So we have to open up the Rambam Hilchos Ishus, so you don't mind opening up. But the Rambam says, "Lefisha ein lo lasis bo shar chafoto, ad she yischala." So the Reb Chaim asks the following question: well, why does the Rambam need these complicated somersaults in the air with the ganze hezber? The Rambam paskins like Reb Meir that Mamon gavonim. And clearly in the case of Kiddushin, you can only Mekadesh with something that's yours. You require Shalom. So the Rambam could have shortened his explanation, and he could have said, Mishum She'eino Shalom. So Chaim wants to say the following. We misunderstand Rabbi Meir. We take Rabbi Meir to the extreme because we read it superficially, and it sounds like Rabbi Meir is saying that my Sesheni is Momen Gavoh, which means that I don't have any bailus over my Sesheni. If so, the Rambam has no havamin, and the Rambam has no need or compelling reason to give us a whole explanation why he cannot be Mekadesh and Isha, since the Rambam is committed to the position of Rabbi Meir. Says Rabbi Chaim, Af l'Rabbi Meir, even according to Rabbi Meir, the Ma'aser Sheni Momen Gavoah, Ika Toras Bailus ala Ma'aser. So what does that mean, Ma'aser Sheni Momen Gavoah?
You get to determine.
He has Bailus on it. Yakeva de Ispe Toras Kiddusha, therefore Momen Gavoah. In other words, there are two, there are two dimensions or two ways of subsuming Ma'aser Sheni. You can subsume it under classical bailus, or you can sum under Torah's Kiddusha. He says, as far as Torah's Kiddusha is concerned, since my Sashen is endowed with Kiddusha, therefore it becomes Momen Gavoah. And that Kiddusha generates an Isur that you're not allowed to use it for any purpose. But as far as actual bailus is concerned, even Rabbi Meir agreed that there's bailus on the my Sashen. We'll see the implications of this down the line, but do you see how Ma'aser Sheni, according to Reb Chaim, is very complicated? Hopefully this will shed light on the Raavad. But before we get to the Raavad, let's just understand why the Rambam feels compelled to give an entire explanation, an elaborate explanation as to why you cannot be Mekadesh and Isha with Ma'aser Sheni. Why didn't the Rambam just say, Eino Shalom? The answer is that even according to Reb Meir, it is Shalom. In Hilchos Shalom, it's his. It'd be fascinating. According to a mayor, for example, if somebody destroys my Ma'aser Sheni, do I have rights to sue him in a court of law for compensation? The answer is yes, it's mine. Oh, but in Kiddushin, with regard to the Mekadesh and Isha, there's a different dimension to Ma'aser Sheni which undermines the bailus for Kiddushin. And what's that? That's the Kiddusha aspect of the Ma'aser Sheni. And what is generated by the Kiddusha aspect, an Isur. Kiddusha always generates Isur, right? We know that. That's a basic equation. So what Isur is generated by the Kiddusha's Ma'aser Sheni? And what does Rebbeir mean when he says it's Momen Gavoah? Momen Gavoah means for the Kiddusha aspect, that dimension. The answer is I can't use it for myself. I can't do with it anything. All I can do with it is either pod it, or I can bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Kevon de Ispe Torah's Kiddusha, and that's what Momen Gavoah means, is therefore also Lassus Bo Chafotso. That's what's going to be Mafkia Kiddusha. So you have something that's yours, but paradoxically, you can't be Mekadesh and Isha by giving it to her.
Yeah, but
why not? Wait a minute, why not? Why not, Alan?
Why
yes? What's the Rambam's answer?
Yes.
So the Rambam's answer is that in Kiddusha, it's not enough to give her ownership. You have to be able to give her ownership on something that she could benefit from.
Yeah, so that, but in general, just like my truma, there's a matter of Tomas Anah that you get to choose who it is the Kohen is, and that itself is has a certain value to it. So why can't you be Mekadesh with the Tomas Anah of the Ma'aser Sheni that she gets to? To bring it to Yerushalayim.
It could be that in the case of Truma, the reason why Kiddusha would work is not because of Tovas Hanah, but simply because Truma is Mutav Hanah. She can do whatever she wants with the Truma. Again, she can't eat the Truma, but she can benefit from the Truma. So, for example, if I give a woman the Nevela as Kiddusha, she's Mekudeshes. You'll ask me, but the Nevela is also Machil. I'll tell you the Nevela is Mutav Hanah. I can sell it on the open market, I can give it to a guy, etc., etc. Truma is also Mutav Hanah.
But you can't destroy it.
It doesn't matter. As long as it's Mutav Hanah, she can do whatever she wants with the Truma. There's no Isur Hanah. Let's say, for example, she wants to warm up her body with the Truma, she can do so. There's no Isur Hanah in Truma. But in the case of Ma'aser Sheni, the Rambam says, Ein bo hishtamshus. The Rambam says, Eino yochol lasos bo. He can't use it. So that's Reb Chaim's language. You listen, this is Reb Chaim's language. He says, "Kamo di ein bo din hishtamshus." Right? He himself, the Makadish, has no heter hishtamshus. He can't use it in any way, any form. Is therefore mamele, he can't give it to her as kedushin, because when I give you something as kedushin, she has to be able to have his chus hishtamshus. And the Nefesh Tova wants to bring a riot to Reb Chaim from Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says, according to a mayor, what would be if he wants to give my Sisheni as a matana? Let's read the Yushalmi. Istapik Yushalmi Reb Meir, im kumodi mochrin oso, so he can't sell my Sisheni. Should the same din apply if he wants to give it as a matana? So the Rosh Yeshiva asked the following question: what's going on in this Yushalmi? Reb Meir holds Mamon Gavonin, which means it's not your Bible. So how can you give it as a matana? What was the Havani in Yushalmi that I can give you my Sisheni as a matana, and you become the Bailam in the matana? I'm not the Bailam, so how can I give you Bailus? The answer must be that I do have Bailus. It's just that there's an Iser Hegdesh, an Iser Kedusha, and as a result of the Iser Kedusha, I have no Ishtamshus. So he wants to say the following. Again, you have to be very profoundly involved in Choshev Mishpat, but he says the difference between Mechira and Matana. Matana, even if I give you something that you can't benefit from, nevertheless, I can. If it's mine, I can give you Matana, and you'll gain ownership on it. In Mechira, when I sell you something, I have to sell you rights to use the object. That's also included in the Mechira. It's not just on the goof I've done, it's on the payrolls. And in the case of Ma'aser Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, insofar as the Iser Kedusha generates an Iser Ishtamshus, which means you can't get any quote-unquote payrolls from it, therefore you can't sell it. You can't sell something that you only have goof on. Again, for this you have to know the sugya of Kinyan Aguf versus Kinyan payrolls. But in the case of Matana, I can give you Matana even if all I have is Bailus, absent the Schus Ishtamshus and the Heter Ishtamshus. He says, "E name a kedivrei agrach nicha." Why is the Gemara differentiating between mechira and matana? The moment bailim, who even Rav Meir agrees that my sheni is moment bailim, rak mishum kedushaso ein lo lasos chafot, so he can't use and benefit from. Vizel din espat in the stopik Yushalmi is nesina matana, the same thing as mechira. E nesina matana mikri asias tzrochov kimechira olo. Ah. He says something different than what I said. He says the following: that if the Torah prohibits asiyas tzrochov, then the Torah says you can't sell it. Why? Because selling it would be for your benefit, and you can't benefit from the ma'aser sheni. But nesina is not considered benefiting from it. Why? Because you get no payment in return. Okay, this needs a lot of work. But the question is, can this in any way shed a light on the Reifet? So I'm just wondering, what time is it now?
107. So
the reason why I've been sleepless is because my watch is not working. Anyway, that's a whole different story.
If it stops, then we don't have to stop at 1:15.
Yeah, I could go on and on because my watch didn't stop.
That's right.
Okay. So let's see. I'm not sure if we need the paragraph in Hine. I think we could skip to the paragraph Yayin Rebobo Basra. Let me just see. I don't want to make any mistakes here because I want to get to the right of it if we have 5 minutes left. I'm just going to skip it. Sorry. He wants to say that that's what the right of it means. By Yerusha, is it teaching after my name? I said, "Shining." Yo, Shani Chomer, she can do Bailu. You should move after my name. In other words, what we needed a special drasha that a Yoreish is chayvin. It was in Tosefes Chomesh, according to Chayim. That even Rav Meir holds that what? That is Bailus. But the only problem is Mongavo, because it's a Tosa, it's Kedusha, and it generates an Isur of Ishtamshus. stuff in the case of Yerusha. Even Rav Meir would agree that there should be a kinyan of a Yorish. So why do we need a special reboot for Yorish? The Ravid says in his first teretz, I need a special reboot because of Rav Meir holds Mom and Gavoninu. So why should this Yorish have to add a chomesh if it's not his and he cannot acquire it through Yerusha? But now Rav Chaim is saying that even according to Rav Meir, Mamon Bailim, if that be the case, is Mamon Bailim, okay, I can't sell it because then I would violate an Isur Shtamshus, but to be Morishit, that's not an Isur Shtamshus. That should go back to the raw Bailis of Shalom. You hear the svar? Nochamon. We need a drasha and a ribui that Yorshim are chayiv until Sefes Chomesh. Why? Because since arriving Rav Meir holds Mamon Gavon. So there's no acquisition. If there's no acquisition, he doesn't own it. It's not chayiv in Chomesh. So the Nefesh Tov is saying that l'chora that's against Rav Chaim, because Rav Chaim holds that even Rav Meir would agree that it is Shalom, he does have Bailus. The only thing is he has an Isur Shtamshus, so that's going to be a problem if he wants to sell something. He's using it by gaining from this Maaser Sheni, he's getting paid. And Rav Chaim wants to say that it could be that if he gives the Maaser Sheni to Matana, then Rav Meir would also agree that that there's a kinyan. Because it's Shalom, he's giving it as a, and he's not violating his Isur Shtamshus because he's not getting any shimush from it. He's not getting any payment from it. Now, if that be the case, why would he be excluded, this Yorish, from, as a Havamina, from Tosefes Chomesh? Even according to Rabbi Meir, through Yerusha, the Yorish is inheriting the Maaser Sheni. Does everybody see that? Because he's not violating the Isur Shtamshus. He dropped dead Nevuch, and now the Yorish is getting it. So Shalom to Shalom. What's the problem here? So for this, he quotes a Sugya Bava Basra. This is the radiation of Chlim. Torah Bonin Abachor. Doshin Labdi Deinu. Pimsh Rashbam. The Migdash Kachi. Velo Karina Bey. Bechol Asheri Motzel. Mashmi Dvara. Hodeh Bey. Bechol Noti Pishnayim. That's not based on Mama Gavoa. Now the Mikri Roy. So there's a din of Pishnayim, you have to have Muchsok. It's not enough to be Roy. And in the case of Kodshim, it's not Yimotzelo. It's only Roy. L'chor b'vur disfilei Isbei Din Yerusha. Oh, so what does that mean? Isbei Din Yerusha. In the case of Mukdashim, so according to Rav Chaim, who says that even though it's Mamon Gavoa, nevertheless you have Bailus, so therefore Mukdashim he has Bailus open. But the only problem is it's Roy. That's a different stipulation condition in Pishnayim and Bechor. Oh, this feel like a Ravid, then it's Ravid, and I say, Shani, I feel Yorish Mosif Chomish. Sfila the Rashpan, the Alfinim in my Sushin, the Chol Mamon Gavoa, Ispe Din Yerusha, the local life. Echshayia Koshal Aratla Rashpan, my property, more the name of Echad Golden, Shine Golden, came in the Yarshile, Havikachol Shar Yosh, Shotva. So what was Gemara asking here about Yerusha? Gemara should ask about Shotva, as we saw in the third cast of the Greeks. Echshli Yashiv. We don't have time to go through this paragraph. Let's just see if we can. This may be impossible, but let's see if we can jump over to the Hina. It was Yesh the Yashiv Kushis Agriz to Lo Dami Yorshim L'Shar Shutfim. What was the Brisker Rav's question? That if you hold that moment Hedger Ninu would become Yorshim becomes Shutfim. So why is it making a big deal about Yorshim? He says, no, Yorshim is not the same as Shutfim. Ah, that's what he's going to argue again. So that must be in the paragraph that I skipped. Again, we'll have to go over this paragraph, Yesh, but he establishes a principle here that with regard to Pidyon Maisa Sheni, even in the case of Yarshim, we have halacha ein echad yochel liftos below chavero. Utsrichim shneim yachad liftos es hamaseh. Now, we're not going to say that the brisket rub that each one has his own chelik and he's a full fledged bialim, and therefore he'll be podus chelik and he'll add a chomesh. Nay, he's saying, we have to see how he proves this, that in the case of Yarshim, with regard to Maaseh Sheni, the pidyon has to be effectuated by both of them. It's not classical shutfis where each one is podus chelik. Ubazeh, if we accept that principle, shayach lema'ute she'echad pod vein shnayim pod. Oh, the shani nishar shutfim, because yorshim are different than classical shutfim, the hocha, after havi bailim, mikomukom eni yochol, so that's not classical shutfis. So in the case of shutfim, say mamish the opposite of Mr. Rob Kol Echad Poder Chelko. Is then there's no liut of echad lo shnayim. Hashenkin, in the case of yorshim faker, it's not that each one is poder chelko, but they have to come together as a joint effort to effectuate the pidyon. Came into ein kol echad. Oh, this maybe is a punchline. Came with the ein kol echad limkar chelko. Right, because we said that if we paskin like Rabbi Meir, there's no possibility of doing a mechira because he's benefiting from the mechira by getting paid for it in the case of Maaseh Sheni.
But it's not
hot like a mechir. Right, so why is it called roi as far as pishnayim, and it's not called muhsa because he can't sell it? And that's in the case of what? In the case of Maaseh Sheni, he cannot sell it. That's the Rambam's talk, is that what? He can't sell Maaseh Sheni. That's what Rav Meir means by what? By Moma Gavoa. In the case of Yarshim, once again, we're going to say that since he cannot sell it, and each one cannot sell his chelek because Maaseh Sheni Moma Gavoa, therefore, in order to effectuate a pidyon, they have to come together and be poded as a group. All right, sorry, Rabosa, I ran out of time here. You have to know more about this paragraph, Yesh Liyashev, and the difference between Yarshim and Shutfim, as far as the possibility of Mechira, and how it impacts on Maaseh Sheni. Again, I can only tell you the thrust of what he's saying is that just the opposite of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav assumed that in Shutfim they have to come together to effectuate the pidyon. Therefore, the Gemara and Ahavmin in Shutfim that maybe there's no Tosefis Chomesh. But says the Brisker Rav, in the case of Yarshim, each one has his chelik with a full fledged bialus, and therefore each one is coming to be poda individually, and for sure each one has to pay his additional tariff of Chomesh. Comes along Nefesh Tova, and I'm not sure exactly how he proves this, based on a Rashbam and Bava Basra, that it's just the opposite, that in the case of Shutfim, each one is poed to himself. There was never a happening that Shutfim should be excluded from Chomesh, because each one is being poed to his chelek. Masha'enkin, in the case of Yarshim, again, I can't tell you exactly why, but the thrust of what he's saying is that in Yarshim, they come with this like tfusas habayis kind of thing, that they're joint ownership, and in order to effectuate a pidyon, they have to do it as what?
Together.
As together as a duet. Dafka, in the case of Yarshim, we're going to say that it's not that each one has his own personal full-fledged ownership on his chelik, but rather they both own the entire Yerusha in the case of Maaseh Sheni. And if that be the case, they cannot sell it, because as the Rambam pointed out, that you cannot sell Maaseh Sheni because it's Mama Gavar. And if they can't sell it, therefore they have to come together as a joint group in order to be poded, because pidyon is sort of like a quasi mechira. And if that be the case, there was a significant serious havamina that that yorshim cannot be pinned or tariffed with pidyon ma'aser sheni, because pidyon ma'aser sheni requires a single handed pidyon, and that they can't do because they're yorshim on ma'aser sheni. That's as far as I got. If I have anything better and more clear, I'll come back to you on Sunday. Now, I just wanted to ask the following question, Rav Osai, because I got to sort of plan myself for next week.